Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Well, you know, the last time, and Susan Glasser, New Yorker, made this point, the last time I think Washington felt anything like this was the McCain funeral. And it feels like is that we only are capable of this at funerals.
Yeah, where people will actually say, let's just breathe for a while here. So what, do we root for more? What is the position?
Alan Simpson said something that I thought, for this show and for how I think we all, I speak for us in the room, how
send
we all
send me a
approach,
box of that?
How, did he say la cheeserie?
He did.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then, we're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Street Northwest in Friendship Heights. We have a very good crowd. Applaud yourselves.
Thank you.
We are available for holiday parties. The holiday season has 2 to 3 more weeks to
speak
go.
Speak for yourself.
We are available. Chatter is available for holiday parties. We have football all weekend long. The Army-Navy game, a lot of people like to watch that. We have the pros on Sunday. Kevin Sheehan is here. He'll tell us what the winter weather forecast is in a little while. But I think that this weekend we are safe from the snow, which is nice.
Well,
so we would will tell us.
We'll talk about that.
So we are
it's not your job.
We are alive and well, and our doors are open at Chatter. Gary Braun is here. Kevin Sheehan is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Michael and I had bowling night last night. I will get to that later.
I won.
Michael won in the family match. He didn't win in the overall.
That's all that matters.
Was there a top speed of bowling?
I bowled 8 miles an hour. So anything Michael threw in there was going to be higher. Nigel is here.
Two hands or one hand for you?
One hand for me. Well, two to set.
You got a guards?
I rolled on Shomer Show.
Yeah, I didn't realize you did that.
I did. That's
they put
how
the
we
bumpers
rolled
up for you or not?
Bumpers were not up. The baby boy Bootsy was there as well. So we will talk about that. I think that we have, there's two stories, one local, one national, that I think we have to begin with. One is about Kevin Hart and one is about Alex Smith. The Alex Smith story, if you are a football fan or if you need surgery, this is a very important story. The statement released by the Washington Redskins, Alex Smith apparently, unbeknownst to the people writing about the Washington Redskins for the last 2 weeks who cover the team, Alex Smith apparently had complications post-surgery, and Alex Smith is fighting an infection. And now there is some question as to whether or not his football career can be resumed.
Well, some of the bloggers picked up on this story. They were all
yeah,
over
there were rumors.
I didn't read it in the Washington Post.
No, it wasn't in the Post. I'm just saying some of these guys from their basement blogging picked
it up. So the Washington Post is playing,
podcast guys
playing catch up on this. Let me just say this. When you read a story that says that all of his teammates went to visit him in the hospital and the crowd was such that they had to wheel Alex Smith out to see them, in sports, that does not happen unless something is serious.
Not during Giant Week, it doesn't.
They don't do it in any sport. One or two guys drift in every 3 or 4 days. I'm not saying people don't visit. I'm saying you don't have a bus of teammates showing up if it isn't serious. And the Redskins, when you get quotes like, Adrian Peterson, we all just assured him, hey, we're praying for you, man.
Yeah.
This is 2 weeks after surgery. We're praying for you, man. The Redskins issued a statement describing the injury as, quote, serious, and then asking, quote, everyone please honor the Smith family request for privacy at this time. Do you know when you get that?
God, the grave situation.
When you're caught with a hooker is when you get that.
Well,
that's when you get honor the request for privacy. You don't get it post-surgery unless something is really, really serious. When Jay Gruden's these are amazing comments by Jay Gruden. He says, I was asked by Alex's wife, his dad, his mom, not to really go into any detail on this process. That's respect to privacy, so that's what I'm going to do. I think when the time is right, Alex will address the media, and we'll go from there. This is a tea leaf situation. You look at this and you say, oh my God, what went wrong?
Yeah, well, when I read the team statement, what? Tony, and it was, everyone please honor the Smith's family request for privacy at this time. That's when you get a statement for somebody in their family that's passing.
You're dying.
Yeah, soon.
Right. Dire.
Yeah, but then with this injury.
It's a terrible, if he's just having reasonable complications from surgery, the idiot who wrote this should be fired.
It really made it, but or maybe it really is grave. Well, perhaps his leg is in jeopardy.
Well, that's then possible. That's good. Well, how did this happen? By the way, is the hospital named? Are the physicians named? Are the care? Is anything
not
named?
Not in the Post story.
Nothing
it's not.
Is named. How did this happen? And you are led down a path that 85 to 90% of us will conclude, hey, he's never going to play again. He could lose his leg.
Right.
What is going on, right? This is, and you have a theory as to why they put it in such
well,
grave terms.
I hate saying this because he could be seriously ill. I mean, it certainly yes. made it appear as if he were seriously ill.
Yeah.
Wow.
But this statement was really, it was so jarring in its language, Tony, and it's the kind of statement you truly read when someone is about to pass. Please let the family be with their loved one in privacy. And I just wonder how much they're trying to deflect all the criticism with this statement like this and everything else. It's like,
nothing over here. Look over here.
It's just, it is, when you hear nothing.
Of course, we're praying for Alex Smith and hope everything is okay with him.
Of course we want the best for
Alex
Smith.
I don't think you even have to say that. Everybody likes Alex Smith.
Everybody likes him.
We're talking about what is now in front of us and how it went from 0 to 80
without it being revoked.
It never went to 20. It never went to 4.
No.
What? How did it happen?
Well, I don't think... I can only speak personally. It was never at 0. I mean, I never assumed it was a given he was going to play again. I mean, I saw the injury. I know how old the guy is. I hoped he would play again. I'm a Redskins fan. I still hope he can recover and play again. I didn't think it was a given.
Didn't Paul George have this? Didn't Gordon
Hayward
have this?
It has happened to other people, but it is a significant injury. It's not like, hey, you just throw some titanium in there, he'll be fine.
Okay.
And I have to tell you, I don't have your pedigree from a journalistic standpoint. I'm a little more simple in terms of needing to know what goes on. I'm fine to just let this guy have his recovery and then let us know afterwards what happened. I don't need it. I don't need to be reported that this guy, if it's the case, has a serious injury, may lose his leg. I mean,
wouldn't
all that
you
stuff,
like to know how it happened?
Doesn't matter. He's
matters
well.
To him.
I'm sorry. I don't mean it.
There was
of course
Tony.
It matters to him. But I mean, as a fan of the team, as a fan of the NFL, I mean, he's the team is moving on this season
that's
without
right.
him. Let him go get better. Let him recover. Talk to us when there's something to talk about. I don't know.
So I have personal. I mean, I've had friends in certain situations similar to this, and I'd like to know the hospital because if I need surgery,
friends.
I'd avoid the hospital.
Right. Well, that's what I would do. That's a fair point.
Well,
do
we know that he got the infection from the hospital?
Don't we
anything.
Don't know anything.
Or was it
no,
because it happened on a grass field with a lot of stuff that may have gotten into the leg?
Kevin, you're left to spin wildly because this is an inadequate.
Could be medical malpractice.
But with
it
respect
could be
to the reporting, just so you know, Adam Schefter did early on, shortly after the injury, say that there's some belief because of the type of injury and it broke the skin.
Spiral fracture.
That it could impact his career.
Okay, but that's
but
not
we didn't
this.
Know he was ill. No, this is not this.
When you get Josh Norman, this is a Josh Norman quote.
Right.
This is from a player perspective. And this is important because it tells you what players are thinking right now. It goes to show you it's the game we play. Can be here one day and gone the next. Can be here one day and you have a big injury and you got to be set back for a period of time. It's just what it is. But he's set financially no matter what, and that's what you want. This is Josh Norman saying he's not playing again.
Yeah.
That's it. He's not playing again. So, I mean, my position on this is that this is a wow to me.
Did you want to get into the salary cap ramifications?
No, I don't. But it's a wow. Obviously, Alex Smith is a very nice fellow.
Good guy.
I met his sister, who worked and I think still works for Michelle Obama. Very nice. We all wish him only the best. I'm saying when you read a story like this 2 weeks out,
it's
and there was nothing to prepare you for it, and suddenly the team is casting it in terms where not only his career, but when they talk about privacy, you think, how serious is this?
Well, Tony, in terms of the reporting, it's similar to the John Wall thing, the confrontation he had with Coach Brooks. We didn't hear about it
for over a week.
So why? I'm with
Gary on this. With regards to allowing him the privacy to heal
And I think they step in now because of a quote like that Josh Norman thing. When I hear Josh Norman, what I'm hearing is this is going to affect not only his ability to play football, this is affecting quality of life.
Yeah.
When he has, you know,
that's what
money
like.
For life, that's quality of life. And I'm thinking when I was in college, I ended up having complications with an infection in my heel. And I come out of surgery and they say very lightly, oh, yeah, we were considering amputation on your foot. And this is not a complication from a you know fracture. This was from a staph infection that was spreading. But I think you, 2 weeks out, you see how aggressive something's moving, and you realize you do need to get in front of this and start yep. to share with the public. And now you hear the reporting catches up to it.
Anyway, there's one other story that we need to get to.
Get to the quarterbacks in the draft a little bit later on
yeah,
in the show.
Yeah, not right.
So we want to lose these podcast, last three games, right, Kevin?
Yeah, you want to tank and get the best possible pick.
I don't think you need to tank.
Kevin, they're going to lose.
It's going to happen naturally.
Yeah. Kevin Hart is out. Kevin Hart, yes. who said this was his dream job, and he was thrilled.
Like 3 days ago.
Oscars,
full Randy Edsel on it.
Yeah.
3 days ago, yeah.
He's out because of what are considered to be homophobic tweets and homophobic routines in his comedy. I mean, I got to get to this. Kevin Hart, he backed away from it. I have no idea who they're going to pick. This comedy is different. Comedy, you get up there and you do anything you can to get a laugh, and if it works, you go even further down that hole. And this is how comedy works. I don't know about this stuff that happened years back.
Tweets from 2009, 2011.
I don't know how the policing of performers goes. I think if you look at comedians as a group of people, they are offensive. That's pretty
well,
much what they do.
Well, then you do know how do. It goes. You well, think that, it's ridiculous.
That, well, I don't know that I think it's ridiculous because of the climate of the times in which we live. I don't know that I think it's ridiculous, but I think that you can look at a comedian's routine, any great comedian, any bad comedian, right? Anybody.
Yes.
You can look at this and you can find stuff that you go, whoa, he's got he or she, they've got to stop doing this. Sarah Silverman, she ain't hosting right. the Oscars.
Right.
Who's going to host the Oscars? Sister Jean from Loyola, Chicago?
With her ring?
She going to host it?
I actually have the short list that they're working
with
right
now. What
do they got? George McPhee, Mike Pence, and
Angela Merkel.
I mean, if you get a comedian, Tony, this is like the woman from the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and she said, what did you think I was going to do?
Right,
this is what I do.
Yes.
Not even comedians. I mean, politicians. I think any of us, if you apply the standard of... let's say 15 years ago. It used to be 30 years ago or 20 years ago, but time moves so fast now. It's just 15 years ago or 10 years ago. If you apply that standard to things that someone says or does, if you apply today's standard to things
over.
That, yeah.
Richard Pryor, over.
Right. It's just
George Carlin, over. This is not going to happen. So I don't know what you do moving forward. I guess you just get a singer. I guess get somebody to sing.
Yeah, get a band like the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Right? Isn't that what comedians do?
Yes.
You saw
his pushback,
Jerry
right?
Jerry Seinfeld does it.
Did you
he's
see
like the only one.
Did you see Art's pushback? He was like, I've addressed this. I've apologized for it. I'm a totally different person now.
No, you're out.
Yeah.
Should have deleted the tweets.
You're out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but you can still play football in the NFL for these things.
But
you get in trouble with your teammates. You know, you get it.
But I should also draw a distinction between something a comedian does on stage and something they tweeted out 10 years ago. Or maybe you would say it's the same thing. I don't know.
I think that's what comedians pretty much do.
Did he decide to drop out himself?
No, well,
or did they
he
ask,
said they
did
asked
they tell him
to apologize,
he,
and he said, he I'm not going to apologize.
Yeah.
No, he said, I'm not going to issue an apology to this because I've already addressed it, and I'm tired of people being negative and, you know, take your negative
haters.
Energy. Yeah, take your negative energy
he
and do something
out.
Positive. And then at the end, he pulled himself out.
Is there a fallback list that they have of people?
I'm sure there is.
Mike
right?
Pence.
Yeah, Mike Pence. George McPhee. Angela Merkel.
Saliza.
I mean, if you go back, so
ratings
so the
gold.
Thing, this is not like Louis C.K. What Louis C.K.
Yeah.
is what he did in his personal life with other people. That these are different. This is not the comedy. The comedy part, I don't know.
Gotta be
where
an athlete. DiVincenzo got away with it.
Yeah,
you gotta be an athlete.
I don't know where you go with this. I don't know who you get who's a safe comedian. I am, but I'm not hosting.
Billy Crystal? You think they call him up and say, look, we're in a pinch?
I think you could look at stuff that Billy's done over the years and you could, I mean.
The Rock. Rock's got a new show to promote. Rock can do anything.
Sure. I don't know.
Bring back Ricky.
I don't know. I mean, I would. That's just, it's sort of stunning to me.
Yeah.
And Kevin Hart.
Although it's also not at all stunning.
No, because
this is what we do.
Yeah, this is the way of the world.
It's teardown time.
So, yeah. All right. And I had come around on Kevin Hart.
I know. We talked about that.
Because I think he's funny in movies.
He is funny in movies.
He's funny in movies.
Still trying to get up on that Super Bowl platform.
Yeah. He was also funny then.
Yeah.
Unintentionally.
Tiny little thing.
He is.
He's a tiny little thing. All right, we'll take a break. Kevin's winter weather forecast when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad. Everybody knows that we use the Harry's razors here. Everybody knows we endorse the Harry's razors
here. Yes, great razors.
So I'll read, because this is about Harry's being a perfect gift. They ask you to talk about finding how the right holiday gift for a guy can feel nearly impossible. You know, just give money. Most people are happy with that. But if you want to give a gift,
give them peace and quiet.
How difficult is it to find something that's both thoughtful, special, and practical? See, that's a problem with the language. If it's both, then you shouldn't have thoughtful, special, and practical, because that's three.
That's three, yeah.
If it's both, there's only two. He doesn't need another wallet or more socks this year, right? I guess. Harry's makes long-lasting quality products at a super reasonable price. Harry's has 4.5 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot. That's like Skypilot, but Trustpilot. We should get that fat-leaping gnome to
Eric
do this.
Burden, right?
They have German-engineered blades for as low as $2 each. It's a practical gift he will actually use. It is practical. And save him money on blade refills. You can personalize it to make it special. You can choose a color that's right for him. Now with limited edition holiday handles, you can have a personal engraving done. It's ready to gift. It comes in a handsome gift box. The gift set start at just $10. There's 100% quality guarantee. If he doesn't love it, returns are quick and hassle-free. And as a special offer for fans of this high-quality podcast, we have partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including the limited edition holiday sets, when you go to harrys.com/TonyK. Plus, you get free shipping. This offer is for new and returning customers and is only available for the holidays. So it's for everyone.
That's
right. If it's for new customers and returning customers, by definition, it's for everyone.
Everyone.
Each Harry's shaving set comes with an ergonomic weighted handle with an option to engrave, German-engineered five-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave, foaming shave gel for a rich lather, a travel cover to protect the blades, a handsome holiday gift box, or you want something just for yourself, redeem a Harry's trial offer to experience the quality of shave before committing. Get your holiday shopping done early. The free shipping ends on December 12th. That's less than a week from now, isn't it?
That will be next Wednesday.
So act now. Go to harrys.com/TonyK to get $5 off a shaving set while supplies last. That's harrys.com/TonyK.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I love sleeping in the dog bed, the Casper mattress dog bed. There's no room in the dog bed for anyone else but me. My grandpa's dog is named Chessie. When he gets a rabbit, it's messy. And he tries to beat me to the dog bed when it's time to go to sleep. I'm gonna brush my teeth. I'm gonna have sweet dreams. And when he wants his bed, well, I'll send him to mine instead. I love sleeping.
This is great.
In the
this, brilliant.
Bed.
This is Susan Peek, who is the official children's musician of the Tony Kornheiser Show. This is an ode to Bootsy trying to sleep in the bed. And you gave this, we've played this before.
Yes, we have.
You wanted to do it because you saw Bootsy.
Bootsy was in it yesterday and he lit up the room.
This fantastic. Makes me so happy and it's such a welcome break from Baby Shark.
which you have to listen to all the time, I'm sure.
Grandpa
all right, this
Shark.
Is what we have waited for.
It's more pages than it's ever been.
This is why we lift all those weights.
This is Kevin's. Kevin, as
everyone
you know,
else's has been issued, so Kevin was able to put his together.
Kevin may or may not be accredited by the American Meteorological Society. He may not, but Kevin does this better than most.
Has his take all written better out. He's ready to most. Read it for you people.
This is the official Kevin Sheehan and Tony Kornheiser Show winter weather forecast.
All right, Tony, let's get to it. It's the, as you just said, The 2018-2019 Tony Kornheiser Show Winter Weather Outlook, we call it this year.
Okay.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance, where everyone eventually turns into their father. Come on in, guys. The water's warm. And can we order some more jalapeno poppers for the boys? Yeah. Also by the Kevin Sheehan Show podcast, Tony, available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, Spotify, and thekevinsheehanshow.com.
It's a great sedative.
Also by, we do have three presenting sponsors this year. Welcome back, Paisanos. What you want.
What you want.
What you want.
Before we get to the forecast, a few important items to get through.
Yes.
First, this forecast covers the period from today, December 7th, a day that will live
in infamy. Forever.
Not because of the forecast, of course.
No, because
but because of what happened 77 years ago today. Yeah. But this forecast covers today through March 31st. Now, as we say every year, Tony, this forecast is not intended to be used as an agricultural forecast for local farmers, nor is it intended to be used as a travel planner. Please don't use this forecast as a reason to cancel your trip to our beautiful city. The nation's capital, our city, and its drivers are quite the sight when it snows.
Yesterday, one of them plowed into a bus 100 feet across Wisconsin Avenue.
But that wasn't because of snow.
Did a U-ey, boom, right into a bus.
Yes. Yeah, so, look, sharpen your pencils, guys. I don't know where Jeannie is for this one.
But I'm taking notes.
It's going to have to be some good note-taking. Lots of dates to write down.
Really,
but before we get to those dates, however, the aforementioned disclosures and disclaimers were brought to you by the law firm of Greenberg and Betterman.
No, it's good.
If you believe that you've been a victim of denied proper Social Security benefits or been the victim of a medical device that's gone defective,
which could be the
call the friendly lawyers at Greenberg and Betterman, serving Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and soon to be Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
That's fantastic.
And all mentions of Rehoboth Beach, Delaware in this forecast are brought to you this year by Grotto's Pizza.
There you go.
Last year it was Nicola's. They apparently didn't like the forecast, so we got Grotto's in this year, where, of course, the sauce is swirled on top of the cheese.
It's also, they put sugar in it.
There's something
sugar
in that sauce.
There's sugar in it. Yeah.
Mention this forecast and you can get free refills on any flavored soda ordered during the first week of December. Now, all mentions of Chevy Chase DC are brought to you, as always, by the Refugee Safeway, just below Chevy Chase Circle, over the line in DC.
Yes.
Directions to both Grotto's in
Rehoboth.
Where
we have all kinds of foods, but not many of them when you go in there.
Right, well, yeah.
Sometimes not any.
Directions to both Grotto's in Rehoboth and the Refugee Safeway, Chevy Chase DC, are available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and thekevinsheehanshow.com.
Good.
If you're looking for it. All right, let's get to the forecast.
Thank you.
Really?
Let's start with a few key factors my colleagues and I are paying attention to. Tony, first, it's El Nino, a.k.a. The Nino.
The Nino.
Any mention of El Nino is brought to you by Chili's and their house specialty, Michael Scott's favorite, Tony, their baby back ribs. Okay. A half rack right now available with any mention of this show for just $2.99. Right. A whole half rack for $2.99. Tony, El Nino is a phenomenon in the central and eastern Pacific Ocean in which ocean temperatures are warmer than normal. We are likely in what I would refer to as a weak to moderate El Nino situation, which means an active subtropical jet stream, as you know.
Sure.
Storms come into California, move across the southern
half. Like the one is doing right now.
Southern half of the United States. We'll get to that one in a moment. And then up the East Coast, producing snow for the Mid-Atlantic and the Northeast. Now, we're also keeping an eye on the NAO, all right, the North Atlantic Oscillation. A negative NAO means increased odds of nor'easters and snow, East Coast storms that often strengthen off the Carolina coast, bomb out, and bury cities from Washington northward to Boston. We think the NAO will be volatile through the winter, sometimes positive, sometimes negative. And really, when it comes to the NAO this year, we're thinking that just about anything is possible, just like, Tony, the National Hockey League. And any mention of the NAO is presented by the NHL, the league that always plays its games on ice with sharpened stakes. sharpened skates that would be. And I've got a brief scoreboard from last night.
Please.
The Capitals cooled the Coyotes 4-2. The Canadians frosted the Sens 5-3. The Lightning numbed the Bruins 5-2. The Pens polarized the Islanders 6-3. And Vegas iced the Blackhawks 4-0.
How about the NAO, though? Are you
to the weather? What about the weather?
Just pay attention. Don't interrupt. Any mention of Vegas.
This podcast is not 4 hours long.
Any mention of Vegas during this forecast is brought to you by Shadow Creek Golf Club. If you haven't seen Tiger versus Phil, it's still available for free on Bleacher Report Television. Did you watch it?
I did.
Winter is coming, Tony, as we know. Winter is coming.
Winter is coming on December 21st. Yeah. That's the official day of winter.
Ned Stark told us that many, many years ago, and he was right. Game of Thrones Season 8 coming actually this year, finally in the spring of 2019. Look, overall, I'm calling for more snow than average. I'm going to use the average number at Dulles this year instead of the average snowfall at Reagan National. My colleagues and I have decided to boycott the Reagan National measurements
because
they're not taken properly.
Okay.
Instead of a ruler, they use a crooked stick to measure. Instead of clearing the snow with each measurement with a broom, they use their hands, which are very warm. And as you know, that impacts subsequent measurements during a storm. It's a poor system. They get it wrong every year. But in no way, by the way, are we putting any sort of or using an indictment on Reagan National itself,
which
is the easiest and most convenient airport in the area.
Right.
All right, should we get to the forecast?
What is the average at Dulles? I'm guessing 24 inches.
We'll get to the forecast. Dulles averages 22 inches of snow.
And you're going up?
I think this winter will produce 2.5 times the average.
That's 50 inches.
55 inches?
50-plus inches of snow this winter with plenty of ice to go with it. It's not going to be fun for people like you this winter.
I hate that.
Not at all.
I like to drive.
Let's get to some important dates.
I'm not Melissa Mollet.
Right, let's get
Melissa
lots Mollet, of snow.
Who said the other day on television on Channel 4, I don't just want a dusting, I want a lot of snow. I hope you, at your house, I hope you get a lot of snow and everybody else gets a dusting. I hope you can't get out of your front door if you like it that much, and I get nothing.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping
for.
Let's get to some important dates. All right, start with the first week of December. The first week
That's
of December,
now that we had that.
It's over.
It
we
is?
We had that.
This is the second week.
It is?
Yeah, what,
is
well, what did you have?
Let me get to it just so you can see if I forecasted it correctly. I expect it to be colder than normal during this period with a big storm coming south, and I think it'll miss us to the south.
Do you?
That's my prediction right now. Places in North Carolina, perhaps even Southwest Virginia, could have record amounts of snow with this one, but I think this one is going to avoid us. We'll have to see how it plays out,
of course. That is a great prediction.
After that storm, which barely misses us, a period where the cold weather heads back north and we get into a relatively normal to mild pattern with some rain, and through the middle part of the month, it's pretty benign. And then it turns colder and stormier right in time for the holidays. Weekend of December 22nd and 23rd, we see warm to start and then a game-changing storm, Tony, that begins late on the 23rd is rain. But then a coastal low takes over early on the 24th, that's Christmas Eve, pulls in colder air, changes the rain to sleet, and then by midday, snow. And the storm slows down. It stalls off the coast. The snow continues day and night and the following day. And this results in very difficult conditions on Christmas Eve. Temps falling with sleet, snow makes travel impossible.
Impossible.
Any mention of sticking snow and impossible travel is brought to you by Geico. Everything sticks to Stefan Diggs' hands.
Right.
Save 15% on car insurance with the new Geico app. Now, the storm on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day drops a foot of snow on the area.
Wow.
A foot. A good one. Any snow of 6 inches or more, like the one I'm predicting
Greg
during
Oden?
The holidays this year, is sponsored by the Hilton Garden Inn, where everything is right where you need it.
Yeah.
That week following Christmas is a wild week. It's cold, bitterly cold. Temperatures don't get above 25 degrees. And then another storm out of the Gulf moves over us, brings warm air aloft. With cold air at the surface, Tony, and warm air aloft, that's what we call in the trade CAD, cold air damming. I know you know that. but not everybody did. This one is bad CAD. Snow to freezing rain and an ice storm New Year's Eve.
Hate that.
All ice storms are presented by Pepco. Their slogan this year, we're always there unless you really need us.
That's right.
Tony, this ice storm on the 31st, this one is a Mayflower situation for you.
Okay, yeah.
I'd ask that you consider a Holiday Inn, however. Relax, it's the Holiday Inn, the world's innkeeper. So maybe you want to consider the Holiday Inn instead of the Mayflower.
Doesn't really sound like a Mr. Tony move.
Without any disparaging to Holiday Inns, where I've stayed many times in my life, I'm going to stay at the Mayflower if I get the opportunity.
They just asked you to consider it. Okay. Look, by January 7th, after the New Year's ice storm, we get an Alberta Clipper, which brings in a 1 to 3 inch light snow.
By then, we won't even care about that.
You'll recall, Tony, that I chaired the symposium last year on Alberta Clippers. You can still find our presentation on YouTube. Just search Alberta Clipper, Kevin Sheehan, Sue Palka, and colleagues, and you should be able to find that from last year. We get a cold period that follows until mid-month, and then January 15th. This is the day you'll want to mark down. Mark it down, please. This job is usually handled much better by Jeannie, and I don't see anybody writing anything.
I'm almost about to drift off.
How else can we crush you for three months? On the
15th, another coastal storm. It's an active winter, as you can see. El Nino. This one's going to be a storm where the rain-snow line means the difference between 4 to 8 inches of snow or 2 to 3 inches with freezing rain, depending on where you are. The city points south and east get the lower amounts with freezing rain. North and west, you get 4 to 8 inches of snow. So this is one of those storms where Jack and Mabel down there in the Northern Neck, they get less, but Agnes and Lester, who, if you remember, Tony, they moved to Boonesboro last year.
Yes, they did.
Agnes still has her job at the outlets, and Lester drives a truck during the week, but on the weekends, like last year, he's selling night crawlers down by the Sunoco. And he really enjoys that, and you can get a dozen night crawlers for $10, and that's a pretty good deal, actually.
That is good.
Actually, now, Agnes sent me some of her peanut brittle, and I put it right next to you all wrapped up. She knows how much you love it, and she asked me, and this is a difficult question, but she asked me to ask you if you would consider being an usher at her nephew's wedding in March. Hank's marrying Penelope Henderson from around the way.
I will consider it.
And they're both big fans of the show, Penelope and Hank. And I told her that I thought you might want to do it. Now, Nigel and Michael and I have been invited to the wedding. Gary, not invited, but they want you to be an usher.
Specifically not invited.
Yeah, now late January, a sleeper storm, Tony. You can tell this is a long winter. We're still in January. It looks like it's going to stay south of us. Or at least that's what some of my colleagues think. You know, all week long, they'll be calling for flurries.
This is going to be one where they all miss.
They all miss a blown forecast. And all blown forecasts are brought to you by the Mustang Ranch Brothel.
In Nevada.
All the blown
forecasts. I didn't check with you on this one, but they really wanted to be a part of this. The girls love the show.
That's great.
They love the forecast. And any mention of this forecast, the girls are offering two items from the pleasure menu for the price of one.
Okay, that's great.
Anyhow, let's get to the month of February. Cold for the first half early in February. Not a lot of snow early part of the month. And then the big daddy storm of the winter. You've been waiting for this one. Cold air in place on the 13th. Storm develops over Texas. Picks up moisture from the Gulf of Mexico. Tracks up the East Coast slowly. Redevelops a secondary off the Carolina coast. And boom. All day. The 13th, 14th, into the 15th. 20 to 30 inches. It is one of those blizzards that we've gotten over the years with temperatures never rising above 20 degrees. A crippling nor'easter. We've seen many of these over the years. It'll be a storm that Wilbon will scoff at, and he'll say they get storms like this one all the time
in Chicago, and schools
never close.
That's because they don't get
But schools will be out for a week here. And if you're an older person and you start to go crazy
like
in your home,
yeah.
See if you can slide on down to the Avalon in Chevy Chase, because they'll have a great Dustin Hoffman day at the
That'll
Avalon.
Be great.
Special showings of Kramer versus Kramer, starring a young Meryl Streep and of course Hoffman. That's at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m.
Good.
Half off tea, coffee, and bagels for that one. And then the late show is All the President's Men, starring Hoffman as Carl Bernstein, and of course Robert Redford as Bob Woodward. And we always forget about this, but Jason Robards.
He won an Oscar.
As Ben Bradley, and Hal Holbrook is Deep Throat. Deep
very,
Throat.
Very good. So that's sort of a sub-prediction, because you're actually putting it out there that Dustin Hoffman will not be a casualty of the Me Too movement until at least the end of February.
That's true. At least right? until, that's
yeah. So February, mid-February.
Should
is terrible.
We have gone with different movies?
No,
perhaps.
No, I think
good movies.
I mean, it's good.
Good movies.
That show, by the way, that's the Late Late Show. That airs at 4 p.m. and the theater closes at 6:30.
Well, of course.
The winter doesn't end there, even though we'll be begging for mercy. There's a follow-up storm to the big one on February 13th through 15th on the 20th. This one, 4 to 8 inches. At that point, you'll need someone, a case of something, and whatever else is legal these days in D.C.
What happens at that point is then you get enough snow that it is not clear
till May.
Fully,
oh, yeah, till May.
Till May in shopping centers.
Yes.
It's not clear till May.
But for this one, you'll want a case of something. You'll want something that's legal these days in D.C. As Robert Plant sang so beautifully, Tony, I spent my days with a woman unkind. Smoked my stuff and drank all my wine. Made up my mind to make a new start. I'm going to California with aching in my heart.
Yeah. Tony, not a big Led Zeppelin fan. But,
March comes in like a lamb, leaves like a lion. One last gasp of winter. March 25th, 26th.
I mean, the tournament should be over. Song. Yes.
This one is windswept snow, comes in during rush hour, roads are covered, cars stopped, abandoned, and you know the Capitol Weather Gang with their goofy little poles that they put
this
out
like
to name storms.
Like 4-hour commute days for people?
They want to name it Carmageddon, but that's been used. Roadageddon doesn't get much traction. The winner is This Winter Sucks Again.
That's right.
That's what they name it, and that one gets 90% of the vote, and that we'll say is a long, cold, snowy winter 2018 into 2019. We will be begging for mercy come April.
Excellent.
Hold on. I'm not done yet. Oh. We want to thank all of our sponsors, especially our new sponsors, the Mustang Ranch in Nevada in particular.
Fleischmann's
and
East.
Some of their very generous offers as it relates to the pleasure menu.
Two for one off the pleasure menu.
And as always, this outlook is the sole property of this show. Any attempts to reproduce or rebroadcast is prohibited.
That's great.
Very good.
Well done. Scary. Scary.
It was longer than usual.
That's okay.
A lot of fear casting there.
First time that's been
Kevin
said about
Sheehan,
you.
Kevin Sheehan, boys and girls.
50 plus inches. This, and by the way, serious. All of the long range indicates a lot of snow this winter.
Wow.
Scary. We will have news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the 23andMe ad. Now through December 25th, which is about 2 weeks. The 23andMe DNA kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. It's named for the 23 pair of chromosomes that make up our DNA. 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes 90-plus personalized genetic reports that offers DNA insights on what makes you unique. It's easy to do. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks you receive your personalized online reports. You can explore where your DNA is from out of 150-plus regions worldwide. You can learn about muscle composition. Do you have the genetic muscle composition common in elite power athletes? Studies have found that almost all elite power athletes have a specific genetic variant in a gene related to muscle composition. You might have that version of the gene, too. You can look for the cilantro taste aversion. Many people dislike cilantro, describing the taste as soapy. Do you have the genetic markers associated with this aversion? You can look for frequency mosquito bites. Some people may feel they get more mosquito bites than the people around them. So what makes some people more attractive to mosquitoes than others? I think it's usually if eyeshadow. I think it's eyeshadow.
Yes, it does.
Genetics may be partly to blame. The ability to match musical pitch. If you hear a musical note, can you sing it back? While matching pitch comes naturally for some, it's almost impossible for others. Genetics can play a role in your ability to match a musical pitch. So now through December 25th, you get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andMe.com/Tony. That's the number 23 and andme.com/Tony. Again, that's 23andme.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is from Steve Lipton in Springfield, Virginia. It's an original song called Consolation Prize from what he says is his someday-to-be-recorded album, Bald Man in a Beauty Shop. I took my time penning this ditty, expending a full 6 minutes of concentrated effort instead of the traditional five. You have my permission to play it on the show. Steve Lipton, a longtime contributor. Wonderfully.
Yes, we love
wonderfully.
Steve.
Wonderfully. Michael, if people want to send in their original music to be played in its entirety at the end of the show, how do they do so?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And are we selling anything today?
Yes, go check out johnnyo.com for all of johnnyo.com for all of your holiday gift-giving needs. I recommend you look up the alumni shirt if you're going out to a holiday party. It pairs nicely with a sweater. You can dress it up with a blazer. It's a very simple shirt. And you can use the code TKGIFT.
Wonderful. James Carville joins us now. James had two good weeks in a row. James was 2-1 last week. He's 13-14-1 overall. He's really very, very close to Mount 500. James, there's no college stuff out there except Army-Navy. Are you going pro or are you going Army-Navy?
I'm going Saints and I'm going Army.
Saints and Army.
Saints and Army.
So Army looks like seven.
Seven. Saints -9.5 is what I saw in it.
Who are they playing?
Playing Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you can do better than that. It's 8.5 pretty widely now.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? I just saw them. You know,
I bet you did.
Yeah.
So you're going to take you get a full point on that. You get 8.5. So you think the Saints are in a bounce back situation?
I think totally. I think they got the offensive tackle back.
Yeah,
and I think they're
nice and rested.
Here, Isaiah's good, and I think Army is just good. I mean, they just better than a touchdown more than Navy.
This is a very interesting thing because for about 20 years, Navy was significantly better than Army, right, James? And in the last two or three, it's Army, isn't it?
It's gotten better, yeah. That is correct. Remember, I picked Army the first time that they won at the beginning of the season on your show.
Yes.
I said, I'm going to start the season and say I'm taking Army over Navy this year. I loved Army and Navy. I'm sort of torn because I was born at Fort Benning. My daddy was in the Army, but I was in the Marine Corps, which is like part of the Navy.
That's part of the – I was going to say that. You have ties to the Navy because you were a Marine.
I do. Yeah, I do. So I'm kind of torn, but I think Army is getting better.
Have you been to that game in person in your life?
I have never gone to an Army and Navy game. I was invited, and I couldn't manage to do it, but I think I'm going to be it one day.
I think
but
you should.
Did y'all see that fight, that Tyson Fury Wilder fight?
Yes.
That was unbelievable. That guy got up. I could not believe that.
He got hit with a right and then a left on the way down. Not only does nobody get up, there's a stretcher in the ring for that. He was up at six, James. He was up at six.
Right.
He was asleep at four and up at six.
It's the most amazing things I've ever seen. So, you know, every listener to this show, over 70, will know what we're talking about.
he gets up and he carries the fight to Wilder for the rest of the round.
Yeah,
I thought Wilder was just going to pounce on him, and the guy comes back at him. I started the fight off. I was really pulling for Wilder, you know, SEC, Tuscaloosa out.
Yeah.
You know, American against this, you know, look with some big, large British guy. By the end of the fight, I was pulling crazily for Fury.
It was a great fight, and
it was a great
there
fight.
Will be another one. All right, thank you, James. We have Army -7, New Orleans -8.5.
Good luck.
Let's hope he wins, because that would get him over 500.
Summiting Mount 500.
Now, he's totally partial to New Orleans on all levels, because he lives in New Orleans and was raised near New Orleans.
There's worse teams to have this season.
Nigel, do you have news for us?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. We'll start off with basketball. I want to remind people of the game of the weekend, certainly, and probably
who
of the
we
week
playing?
As well. At Binghamton on the Dr. Bailey Court, the 3-6 Bearcats host the 3-6 Greyhounds of Loyola, Maryland.
Now, we beat Loyola last year at Loyola because I went
game,
to
right,
that
Tom?
Game. No, it is not a conference game.
They're not in the American East.
No, they're not in the American East. So I watched Binghamton win that on the road. We have one D1 win, I believe. Sacred Heart is our one D1 win.
Right.
So
a couple
I'd like
of D3 wins as well, right? Well,
D5.
D3, you're being kind.
By the way, for those who want to watch it, it'll be on C-SPAN, so you can check it out.
It's not going
to
be on anything. If you watch it, you better go there.
Yeah.
That's how you watch it.
Tough night for the Terrapins, Mr. Tony. They lose to Purdue. Close one, 62.
I watched the last 5-6 minutes of that game, which only lasted 15 minutes. Neither team could hit any shots. Maryland finished 20 of 57. Oof. That's terrible. That's terrible.
That's not good.
Big Ten hoops.
And they're a ranked team.
So Maryland went into that game 7-1, ranked 23rd. Their only loss being that close home loss to Virginia, relatively close. Purdue was 5-3, unranked. Purdue an 8-point favorite despite that. So not really
Maryland
an
covered.
Upset.
If you look at the length and breadth of the Big Ten, that's a great conference.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the best basketball conference in the country.
Seven of the top 25.
Everybody in there is good. Everybody's good.
Yeah, Maryland has stretches where they don't appear to run any offense.
No.
I mean, every game they have these 5-6-7 minute stretches where just they leave it to Cowan. He just pounds the rock and then throws up something in Levi's. So.
To football, or more specifically, matters off the field in football. Alyssa Ennis, the woman who alleged that Reuben Foster slapped her last month.
So odd to be named. I mean, named voluntarily. She came forward. She went on Good Morning America.
Yes. And said, when he got signed by the Redskins, I was like, I can't believe somebody picked him up. I just couldn't believe somebody picked him up in less than how many hours? I was shocked. And then when they talked about, well, didn't you recant your allegations before? She said, well, yeah, that was actually a lie. I was doing it to try and protect him because he's someone I love.
I just want to say that in this particular situation, I'm going to just withhold judgments on this and leave it to somebody far smarter than I. This is a repeat situation. They have been together on and off for quite some time. There was a previous allegation in which the young woman said, it never happened, I made it up for a monetary scheme. Once you say that,
it's problematic.
She didn't just say it, she swore it. She said it under oath.
I don't know what happened. I think it will not surprise me at all if not only does Reuben Foster never play a game for the Washington Redskins, if at some appropriate time, relatively soon, he's not on the team.
So she said that she was in Tampa. He had flown her in. They were attempting to reconcile their relationship.
But he had another girlfriend.
And when she told him that she was going to tell the girlfriend he had flown her in, things went sideways. Yeah, I think we can all agree on is they should probably stop seeing each other.
Yes, that's a disastrous relationship.
Yeah. Yes. How about some more football? The Freedom League is planning to launch as a spring league.
This is the one that Terrell Owens and Ricky Williams.
Yes. That's right.
They've already named all their teams. There's only one team in the East. It's in Connecticut. There's nothing in Washington, nothing in New York, nothing in Boston. This is in Connecticut. This is the third new league. There is no appetite for three new leagues.
I don't believe there is.
There's the XFL. There's the And there's this thing. This thing. One of them may make it. One may. Three are not.
Right.
They're just not. They're not enough players.
I put my money on the AF.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the AF.
Yeah, that's the
Bill
one.
Polian's
Bill Polian co-founded that one. Yes. Did you want to talk about Golden Globes, Mr. Tony?
No. Nah, we talked about Kevin.
By the way, speaking of football, before we get off football, or maybe you have plans to mention this later, the game last night, I mean, a dog game, but Derrick Henry's performance.
Henry went 17 carries, 238 yards, and four touchdowns as Jacksonville was beaten 30-0. Jacksonville, which looked so good, right?
Defensively, sure.
Against the Colts, out the Colts.
Yeah.
They gave up nothing.
Yeah.
Who allowed Derrick Henry just stiffed-armed his way into the end zone four times. This we had this on PTI.
Including a 99-yarder.
99-yard, which
Tony Dorsett,
you can't go any further than that.
Right.
That's so, of
interesting,
course, that's
happened
record.
Twice, and both in prime time. Dorsett's was a Monday night, if I recall, against the Vikings.
Cowboys were always on.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And this
so this is interesting to me, and it was extraordinarily surprising to me. And it comes tomorrow night, they're going to give out the Heisman. So it did not stun me that Notre Dame and Ohio State and USC all had the most Heisman winners with 7, or that Oklahoma was next with 6. So if Kyler Murray wins the Heisman, as I think he might, they go up there to 7. What stunned me was that Alabama only had 2, Derrick Henry and Mark Ingram, 2 in the last 10 years, and none when Alabama was the preeminent college team along with Notre Dame. Had none. And Wilbon said, of course they didn't, because they ran an offense out of 1930. And that's, you know, they were just the best team. I was I was stunned that they only had two. Stunned. And Tua Tagovailoa, he might be three. It's going to, I don't think it's the Ohio State kid. I think it's going to be either Oklahoma or Alabama. Yeah.
What's the knock on him?
The knock on who?
Haskins. I mean, why?
There's no knock, but I think the other two were dominating for most of the year.
42 touchdowns and 4,000 yards. That's pretty
dominant. Great. He got much better as the year went on,
but
too.
But I just think that he's – I don't think you can look at Tua or Kyler Murray and say anything bad about them.
That's right.
They were consistently wonderful.
That's what I'm saying. What can you say bad about – I mean, I would put him in the same hat. I'm not saying
he's
a favorite.
He's going to be there.
I get it.
He's going to be there. Yeah.
Ryan Zimmerman speaking out, saying, I don't think it's any secret – I'd like to finish my career with the Nationals.
Good for him.
Yeah. He was first-round draft pick. Came up and
played. Some would like to see it finished earlier than others, but, you know.
But he came up and played the first year. I mean, he was drafted and was on the team playing like
he's
that.
He's been great.
Yeah,
he's been
terrific.
A lot of big moments for that team.
He's been great, and it's nice to know that he doesn't want to chase money somewhere else for a year here or a year there, like a lot of people do.
It's nice to know he'd rather finish up here than go get a ring somewhere. That came out wrong.
But he's guaranteed through 2019, and the team has an option for 2020 that would pay him $18 million.
Okay, we'll go 1 year at a time.
Yes, exactly.
I ask one thing? You asked about the Golden Globes before. I'd like to ask this one thing. The director of the Green Book, which is nominated for the best drama or best comedy, whatever it is, And often some of these movies are nominated for Academy Awards. The director is listed as Peter Farrelly.
That's correct.
Is this from the Farrelly brothers?
Also absolutely correct.
The guys who did all of those Dumb and Dumber movies?
Yeah, Me, Myself, and Irene.
Something About Mary.
Yes. He did this?
Yes.
Why?
Yeah, you don't see it coming.
That is a career pivot, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I think the tie-in...
Are you sure that this is...
100%.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
Wow.
I think the character that Viggo Mortensen plays... is from Providence because everything.
He's a real person.
Oh, yeah, he's a real person.
The screenplay is written by him and his father or something like that.
Right.
Or no, the son. The father is the character, and the son also wrote the screenplay. Oh, wow.
I have not seen that yet.
Or had the idea.
But Arch and Ann have, from At the Movies with Arch and Ann, which records right here at the Chatter Studios, they both love it. They said it's one of the best movies of the year.
Okay.
So
that's enough.
That's enough. Did you want to talk about the grim news with the salesman?
No, because it's grim, and we already had grim news from Kevin about all the 50-plus inches of weather of snow, which we don't want.
No.
All right, so we'll take a break, and then when we come back, we'll do Old Guy, and Jeff Ma will join us for Old Guy. Thankfully, Kevin's out of the studio right now. We don't have to have that. And I will talk about the PTI bowling party.
Oh, yes.
The annual bowling party from last night. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. These are Crosby, Stills, and Nash from the original Crosby, Stills, and Nash album. We have an autographed copy here that Tony Beeson sent us.
It's fantastic.
This is one of the greatest albums ever recorded.
It really is.
This is Helplessly Hoping. I was never thrilled when Neil Young came to that group. I mean, I thought that... Neil Young's wonderful, but I thought that they lost...
The purity of these three?
Yeah, they lost the vocal harmony. This was the period of time, I'll just go on and on here in terms of critical commentary. The British supergroup, Blind Faith, got together, and everybody anticipated that that album would be the greatest album ever done. Eric Clapton, Jack Bruce, and Steve Winwood.
Right.
And this came out in about 1967 or 68, something like that. And people were just stunned at how good that was. You know,
just
Crosby,
beautiful.
Stills, and Nash. Jeff Ma joins us now. Jeff had a very good week. Jeff was 4-1 last week. My math has Jeff at 32-27-5, which means that if you blindly bet everything that Jeff told you to bet, you'd be making money. That's a very good week for you. What do you have for us this week?
Unfortunately, there's no college. I've been pretty good on college, so I guess there's Army-Navy, which the only thing to do there is probably bet the under because it seems like the under always comes in. But I'm just staying away from college. I'm going to take Carolina -1 at Cleveland. This is a bet. Kevin, is this one of your smell test bets on the other
Kevin's
side?
Kevin's not here. No. Kevin got scared and left.
Yes.
Yeah. Kevin got scared. He left.
That's typical.
Yeah.
So, okay,
coward.
Carolina -1. At Cleveland, Cleveland is a team that everyone the narrative is that they're on the up and up, obviously getting rid of Hugh Jackson has cleaned things up there, et cetera. But Carolina's a much better team. And, you know, I think that, you know, basically just needing a win here, I like them.
By the way, I wanted to mention that you crushed Rufus Peabody. Rufus was 1-2 in his only picks. So you crushed him. So on Bet the Process, yeah, you should be able to say that out loud, you know, on your podcast. You should. So,
well, overall for the season, he's beating me by, I think, half a game or a game on Bet the Process. He's at around 56%, and I'm at around 55%. So our podcast is making people money, too. So it's been a pretty good season for us.
Good. What else do you have?
I'm going to take the battle of two terrible teams. I'm going to take the points. I'm going to take the Jets plus 3.5 at Buffalo. You know, there's not really a world to me right now where Buffalo should be giving anyone 3.5 points. I know Josh Allen has played much better, and he's certainly much better than Nathan Peterman, but plus the 3.5 here for two teams that are roughly equal, two teams that have very pedestrian offenses, I like getting the 3.5 with the Jets.
Okay, what else?
And then I'm going to take Denver minus the 3.5 at San Francisco. This line opened at 5 and was bet down a 3.5 based on the fact that Emmanuel Sanders wasn't playing.
Right.
I just don't think a receiver is worth 1.5 points, even, you know, a receiver as good as Emmanuel Sanders. This Denver team has become a very solid team based on the running of Philip Lindsay and generally their defense, and Case Keenum doesn't make many mistakes. It seems like he may have been the right guy to keep in Minnesota rather than Kirk Cousins. And now that Denver is playing some teams that are a bit weaker, they're starting to get some wins. So I like them minus the 3.5.
I agree with you completely on the Keenum comment. Yeah. Not so much that, you know, that Minnesota shouldn't have taken Cousins because they really wanted Cousins. But I think that Keenum has been very undervalued. I really do. I thought he was very good with Minnesota last year. I didn't understand that. Anyway, what else?
Yeah, he was good. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and that's kind of the key to quarterback these days. If you don't make mistakes, you know, unless you're one of those Drew Breeses, if you don't make mistakes, you're going to keep your team in it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to take Philly plus 3.5 at Dallas. Dallas is obviously everyone's darling off of that big win at
yes.
the Saints where, you yes. know, where everyone just thinks like, oh, okay, they've turned the corner. But their offense is really still not very good. And, you know, if we believe in the concept of priors, which means that teams are, you know, there is some value to what teams were going into the season. Philly was a much better team than Dallas. And I think this line is about a point too high.
Okay.
And then
Wilbon and I went through this yesterday, and I would take Dallas. I mean, it wasn't on a line or anything like that. I mean, you can still take Dallas and win. If you're, you know, if Philly is getting 3.5 points, but I don't know.
You're a believer?
Well, it's not so much that I'm a believer, but I look at it, and it's interesting. I don't know how much Jeff pays attention to this. Philadelphia, the wins that they have, not a single one is against a team that now has a better than 500 record. They are 0-3 against teams that have a better than 500 record now, and Dallas has a better than 500 record now. Does stuff like that figure into what you do?
No, not really. I mean,
yeah.
We certainly look at past performance and sort of how they've done in those games, and that's all fit into a model. I mean, a lot of the Philly thing is Carson Wentz, right? I mean, how many of those
yes.
games that they lost were with Carson Wentz there? Obviously, even when he came back, he was a little bit rusty, and this team has suffered a lot of injuries, et cetera. So you can certainly see a world where Philly is just an overrated team because of how good we thought they were going into the season. But I just think that Dallas has gotten a little bit overrated because of their recent success.
Yes.
I think getting 3.5 points with a team Philly that is arguably as good, if not better, than Dallas, it just makes a lot of sense to me.
Okie dokie. What else? Got another one?
Yeah, last one. On Monday night, Seattle minus the 3 versus Minnesota. Seattle's a team that has played solidly all season despite everything that they've kind of gone through and the injuries on defense and a lot of the adversity they face. And Minnesota's offense has just been bad this year. It's really surprising how they've regressed with Cousins there. Their defense has been a little bit better since they got Everson Griffin back, but I think Seattle's a better team, and so I think they should be giving more than 3 points here.
It's possible that the loser of this game is out.
Yeah,
it's possible
they're
out.
It's likely if Jeff is right and Seattle wins.
Yeah, yeah. Just yeah. out. Just a Minnesota.
That would be a major disappointment.
It really is.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff's podcast is called Bet the Process. 4-1 last week. That's very good. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Tony.
Like to have Jeff Ma. Jeff Ma getting quicker, too. Like that, Jeff Ma.
Rolling
stepping
through
up.
The picks.
So, so Tom Jones is here. Not that Tom Jones, of course.
It's not
but Tom Jones is here. And Tom recently did a show in L.A. Tom puts musical shows together. I think we've had this discussion before, that Tom's mom was a great singer and at one point was the lead in the British production of Oklahoma and used to wake up Tom every day by singing, "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning," until Tom probably at 16 just moved out of the house.
And said, that probably didn't
I can't
get old
listen
at all
to, I can't
until
listen
the first week.
Anyway, he promotes musical shows, and this one had Felix Cavalieri, one of the Rascals, and I can name the Rascals, Felix Cavalieri, Eddie Brigati, Dino Danelli, Gene Cornish.
Oh, okay.
Gene Cornish. And he got me some signed stuff.
How about that?
Signed stuff from Felix Cavalieri, who would like to be on this show.
Really?
I would love to have him if he sat here.
Right.
Phone stuff is not exactly great for me. And also on the show, Tommy James of Tommy James and the Shondells.
Sure.
And I now have the complete singles collection of Tommy James, including my favorite Tommy James song, which is Sweet Cherry Wine.
That's right.
That is my favorite.
So Tom Jones was working with Tommy James.
Yes.
Did he write a paper?
And he's got a book. He's got a book called Me, the Mob, and the Music. Tommy James and the Shondells.
But do you still have a CD player to play those?
I think I have a CD player in one of the cars.
An old car?
Do you know how to access it?
The little house?
I don't know. No, I need to buy. Do they sell CD players anymore?
Sure. I think we could probably
find you one.
I would like to do that. Because now all you do is you say, "Alexa, play me this." And
right.
That's just too easy. I don't really like that. Let me get to the bowling. Last night was the bowling party, the annual PTI bowling party. Now, we go to this place that used to be called for years Strike Bethesda.
Before that, Bowl America.
Bowl America.
Now it's Lucky Strike, or what's it called?
Lucky Strike was downtown. It's now called Bowlmore.
Oh, Bowlmore, that's right.
Bowlmore. It's the same bowling alley with the same bowling alley French fries.
The best.
They were great. We gave Bootsy came. We gave Bootsy some bowling alley French fries.
First bowling alley French fry. Yeah, they wouldn't have had it last year.
So they had this whole fried platter out, and they tried to fancy it up by calling it a crispy sampler.
No, it's
which
just,
had tater tots.
Yeah, just,
I stayed with the tater tots.
Everything I ate last night was carbohydrate friendly. Everything, all the pizzas, all everything was just. Yeah. And I just ate and had a really good.
They
time.
They didn't even have normal pizza. Go to bowling alley for greasy pizza.
They do like flatbreads.
Yes.
But it was like rolled out bleached white bread.
I had one glass and only one glass of bowling alley wine.
Why?
Bowling, because it's terrible. It's even worse than gas station wine. It's just terrible.
Yeah.
If you go to a bowling alley and you order wine, you're a dope.
Although you can get like mixed cocktails and stuff there, right?
Yes, yeah. You're a bozo. So I had the one, and that was it. I was terrible.
How's the arm feeling today? Sore?
My
or no?
arm is fine.
Good.
I was so terrible.
My forearm is sore.
I bowled two games.
Right.
I bowled 86 and 71. Ugh. I got worse. I made one spare all night.
Oh my God.
I don't think this is old age because I didn't feel hard to bowl, but I used to comfortably bowl 120, 130, 140. I never was under 100. That's insane to be under 100.
Yeah.
I wasn't even close to 100. It reminded me when I was a kid. And this is a long time ago. Bowling was much more popular when I was a kid than it is now, I believe. And by the way, they hit
the alleys after the sock hop or something?
We had no sock hops, no. Well, I'm not that old. I'm
Split
old, not
a
that
Sunday.
Old.
Mohair sweaters.
But there was a kid 2 years younger than I in my high school. His older sister, Elaine, was in my grade. His name was Norman Hurwitz, and he was good. He was that kid who at 13 and 14 and 15 was good enough that people, you know, gave him money to go play, and they bet on him.
Oh, wow.
He was like hustler good.
Right.
He was like break your arms good. He was routinely at 200.
Wow.
Routinely as a teenager. Like, he was the kind of kid, they didn't let him bowl on the high school team because there was not enough action for him in high school bowling.
Right, yeah,
and there was
money.
A phrase that we used, and I don't know if you're younger than I, Michael, you don't bowl that much. It was stuck and. In other words, stuck in a buck, stuck in five, stuck in 20, stuck in 50, stuck in 100. The stuck referred to you had to pay for the shoes and the lanes and the frames. You know, that was part of the bet. You were stuck for that. The winner was not stuck for that. And there was
stuck at 100, meaning 100 bucks plus.
Yes.
You pay all the.
Yes. And that's a lot of money.
Sure.
50 and 60 years ago.
Right.
A lot of money. And Norman was the kind of kid that people, you know, there was a crowd. When this kid bowled at the Woodmere Lanes or the Hewlett Lanes, there was a crowd. I have a friend, Ray McClote, who bowled a 300 2 years ago. He was a very good bowler. But Norman Hurwitz was like, you know, he was like the mythical bowler. Yeah.
Right. So this is what's infuriating. Even when you're bowling a 76, you still look graceful
71.
Doing it.
Yeah, 71. 86, 71.
He's got the nice follow.
Everyone over the age of 40 has the proper little dance as
right
they approach
wide.
The lane.
Yeah,
the
right leg wide
approach.
On the follow.
Yeah.
I was terrible. And Michael can attest to this. Michael was over 100 in his games. 120, something like that.
Yeah.
Nice. So Michael
but I
can
play a fade. I don't draw.
Michael can attest to this. No matter how many pins, and sometimes I put it in the gutter. And I had no control of the ball. I am actually
maybe
thinking.
Maybe it's too heavy?
I am actually thinking of going back there tonight and
hammering
every day for about 5 or 6 days.
Yeah, Wilbon.
I want to get better.
You say this every year.
Jeff Beck. You're the bowling Jeff Beck.
This was embarrassing. So what happened was no matter how many pins I knocked down the first time around, I never got any more pins. I would release the ball, it would
kicking
miss.
Kicking field goals on those splits, huh?
It was just I had no splits. Mm. Michael had a couple of impossible splits, like the 4-7-10.
Yeah, I don't know what they're called.
3-7-10.
Just talent,
they're called their heart.
The dreaded 6-10
So
split.
I wanted to give you the scoring of, this is Eric Rydholm does this every year.
Right, it's brilliant.
And now there's 60, 80 people who come to the
multiple
stage.
Shows then, or is it? That's
all
not just
the shows.
Yeah.
Okay. PTI, Around the Horn, Dan Le Batard is highly questionable, and High Noon. All the staff from all the shows, all the talent if talent is in town. For example, Frank Isola was in town. Frank bowled. Jamel Hill was in town. Jamel, I said, Jamel, are you a good bowler? And she gave me the line that Wilbon always gives, and it seems to be true. She grew up in Detroit. Wilbon grew up in Chicago. She said, when you're from the Midwest, you're a good bowler. Because it's cold and there's snow and you can't do outdoor things all the time. So Jamel Hill had the highest score of any of the female bowlers, 122. Bonnie Burka was next with 106.
I couldn't have
even placed in the female division.
Right.
Frank Isola was second among the men with 159. And Mike Foss, who's a very good bowler.
And he whips it, as you've said.
He bowls it like 90 miles an hour. Tremendous action on the pins. He was number one with 192.
192? That's a real score.
That's a score.
Bowling is one of those activities where
I do it once every year or two
that I do it, I'm always struck by how much fun it is. Like, you always
it's
forget
fun.
How
you
much
never
you
have
fun.
And you then, never have a bad time.
And I always say I'm going to go back, and I never go back.
Well,
but I may go tonight.
Well, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Because if you go tonight and you go for a couple more times, if you do that, it won't impact your score for next year. Why not the week leading up to your event next year?
Because I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed at the fact that I shot an 86 and a 71. I was trying.
So this
right?
would just be for you.
I was trying.
I think Bootsy made you nervous. You were trying to impress the little guy.
Bootsy.
Pressure? You felt Bootsy pressure?
No, I really didn't, although I was so happy to see him. Explain what he does with bowling balls.
So they reserved about 8 lanes. He just went lane by lane and touched every single bowling
That's
ball.
What he likes to
moved
do.
It around. His mother thought he was going to break
and
his
finger. And pointed at him.
Diss.
And went,
diss.
This. Like that.
Yeah, you're always afraid the kid's going to smash the fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, because he'll pick one up and he'll drop it on his toe and that's it.
Yeah.
But he can't pick that up. No.
And I use the excuse, I would have bowled a higher number, but I would pick Bootsy up and give him the experience of crashing down the lane with me.
Why didn't we use that thing, the graded thing you drop?
Oh, the slope.
The ramp.
Yeah, the ramp.
The ramp.
Oh, that's an accident waiting to happen. He can do that next year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he'll be old enough.
He has no arm strength.
Yeah. So
That's why we lift all those
weights. I went home and I was upset.
Yeah. He does pull-ups on his quad.
I was upset. I was
71,
terrible.
71.
I was terrible.
Really bad.
One really spare.
What's
the whole night?
What's the reaction of everyone around you as that score becomes clearer and clearer? They just sort of
please,
like,
old man, leave. And so I left very, very early,
aging
and everyone was happy that I left.
Well, without naming,
everyone was happy.
I'm not asking you to name names, but I don't imagine 71 was even the low. I imagine someone did worse.
I don't know. I have no idea. I could ask Kelleher.
We don't need to know.
I don't
that.
Know.
Just
so anyway,
saying, don't feel
all
too
right,
bad.
So we will take a break, and we have a jingle, and we have email when we return. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Oh, the playoffs, they'll soon be playing, and it looks like a lock for Saban. You might think that the dog should go, but, you know, it's a television show. Now, a lot of these coaches are liars. No one wants to hear questions for Meyer. Oklahoma has a defense that blows. Still, we know it's a television show. Why would any D.C. bar adopt Notre Dame? That just seems kind of funny. But to all of the questions you've got, the answer will always be money. Oh, the weather outside, it's still raining. But you know me, I'm rarely complaining.
I love Brad White's
Even if
lyrics.
The podcast explodes, well, I've still got a television show.
It's very, very, very nice of Brad Weiss in Williamsburg, Virginia, to do that. It's
love
a very
Brad.
Good song.
Thanks, Brad.
Let me thank James Carville and Jeff Ma. Jeff from the podcast Bet the Process, James from the moon, as we know. And our very own meteorologist, Kip Schmiemann, for coming on the show today. Let me thank our sponsors, 23andMe and Harry's Razors. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. In the crowd today, Shannon and Sarah are here. They are getting married tomorrow. We congratulate them.
Congratulations.
And I'm saying happy birthday to Ed Crilly on the show today. And
happy
I know
birthday,
that Jimmy
Ed.
Make that will make Jimmy very happy. From Scott Taylor, with you being the head of the Gilbert Arenas fan club, I recommend you listen to Jeff Goodman's podcast in which he interviews Agent Zero. I have no doubts your love and appreciation of Agent Zero will grow. I'm halfway through, just a few highlights. Gilbert's phone cannot take calls. He can only receive texts and call out. One of the benefits of this is you don't have to worry about a side chick calling and getting you in trouble while you are in the shower. He goes to the gym most days. About four of those days, he's only going, he says, to booty watch. While at Arizona to get back at a teammate while at a hotel, he removed the teammate's peephole and put a koi fish from the hotel pond outside the teammate's door. Then he knocked on the door. He sprayed the fire extinguisher through the peephole, and when the teammate opened the door, he was greeted with a flopping koi fish. If Nigel doesn't schedule Gilbert to come on your podcast, deportation is the only option. We're never having Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah, I don't think that's going
to
happen.
We're never having him. From Mike McGill in Wilmington, North Carolina. In 2004, I took some time out after a kneecappage situation to become a caddy master at Columbia. After I doled everyone out, I was able to caddy for some extra coin. On a few occasions, I had the honor of carrying for Mr. Mitchell. This would be Glenn Mitchell. He said, I won't use his first name, both out of habit and out of continued respect for him after all these years. In the Washington Post today is a beautiful, beautiful write-up of Glenn's entire life. He was a great man, and I enjoyed every afternoon I spent working for him. There is a Mr. Tony connection after a round with Mr. Mitchell where I nailed every read, yardage, and club suggestion. He came off the grass singing my praises. Because of that round, my boss hooked me up with you. On the second, I gave you a right-edge read on a relatively short putt that did not move left. The look you gave me would have killed a small animal. I'll spare everyone the details of the rest of the round. Children might be listening. I'll wrap up with a thank you. Your show helps the time I spend on the road fly by. I would also like to say a hello to Howard. I worked on the Capital Gang Sunday before that show, which was a joy to work on. Got kneecapped despite some damn good ratings. And also because I'm a Syracuse alum who worked for CNN a few years, a double Edith Saliza. Please don't use my name on the air. I have clients in Jacksonville. From Tim Cree in Fort Collins, Colorado. With all the talk of station wagons, I felt I should describe briefly the ultimate demise of our 1967 Mercury Colony Park wagon, turquoise blue with simulated wood paneling on the side. Those are called woodies. Here are the three warning signs of station wagon doom. Step one, white smoke coming from under the hood. Step two, black smoke coming from under the hood. And lastly, step three, the paint in the center of the hood starts to boil. It is upon step three that yours truly decided time to get out of this car. From Kevin Fahey in Gilbert, Minnesota. Just 3 days after my D.C. daughter delivered a masculine child to join her unbelievably lovely and talented 23-month-old daughter, she celebrated a birthday. Being a Nats fan and Nats realist, my son-in-law is actually the first person to show up at Chatter attempting to buy a gift certificate for me, purchase a T-shirt for my daughter as a gift for the kids. It's a T-shirt, and on the back, number 37, and on top of that, Orchid.
Want 2T.
Yeah, yeah. From Harry in Abbottstown, Pennsylvania. Listening to the banter on whether to start with your left sock or your right, I thought of a classic All in the Family episode where Archie and Meathead had a spirited discussion on the proper order of putting on socks and shoes. Archie was a sock-sock-shoe-shoe guy, while Meathead was a sock-shoe-sock-shoe guy. I wonder how the bit would have played out if left and right were added to the mix. For the record, I am a left-sock-left-shoe, right-sock-right-shoe person. From Rob Gilfillan, I guess.
Robbie G.
Gilfillan, maybe. Bellingham, Washington. On Thursday's show, Saliza mentioned Markel Fultz had a genital disease. I'm not a doctor like you, but I think he might have meant a congenital disease. Maybe Lace is right and Fultz can turn things around after meeting with his proctologist. From Reuben in Maryland, I'm sorry to ruin the debate, but there's one true answer to the question of what is the best latke topping. I've recently been experimenting with lactic acid fermentation, and I decided to ferment a batch of apples and make applesauce out of them. All of my other experiments were failures, but in a Hanukkah miracle, the apples came out perfectly. The result was a sour, funky applesauce that contained the best aspects of applesauce and sour cream all in one, and was truly the ultimate latke topping. I'd bring you a jar. Just give me a couple of weeks to ferment some more apples. I'll be happy to get it. If you're out on your bike tent, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Andy Poley.
Thank you.
Andy Poley.
I love sleeping in the dog bed, the Casper mattress dog bed. There's no room in the dog bed for anyone else but me. My grandpa's dog is named Chessie. When he gets a rabbit, it's messy. And he tries to beat me to the dog bed when it's time to go to sleep. I'm gonna brush my teeth. I'm gonna have sweet dreams. And when he wants his bed, well, I'll send him to mine instead. I love sleeping in the dog bed, the Casper mattress dog bed. There's no room in the dog bed for anyone else but me. You know I sleep much better, though it's a little bit wetter. I love sleeping in the dog bed. No more Chessie in the dog bed. The dog can sleep in my bed, and I'll be happy, you see. 'Cause it's the dog bed forever for me.
Somehow